Hi, I'm Brad Wright, your chapter president for 2020. This interesting and different year keeps on getting more interesting and different, and we're only halfway through. I hope this finds you healthy and social distancing without being socially isolated. While working daily with our chapter's board of directors and our various committees, one thought continues to collectively bubble to the top. The Financial Planning Association of Massachusetts believes that changing tomorrow starts today. And one area where our chapter needs immediate change is in improving opportunities for people historically underrepresented in our great profession. So to act on our commitment to change, we have organized a chapter-wide diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative for Wednesday, August 5th from 1 to 4 p.m. This will include a professionally led virtual education component focusing on understanding implicit bias, followed by small group discussions where members will be welcome to offer thoughts and brainstorm about how we can grow and become a more diverse and inclusive chapter. We hope this program will be the first in a series of events and initiatives intended to enact the needed change in our society and our profession. The change doesn't happen overnight, but progress is crucial and an opportunity for us all to acknowledge the challenges faced by communities of color. Recognize that change starts first within each individual and realize that we all need to look inside ourselves and better understand our own biases. Listen and begin to understand. Ask for feedback and ideas. Begin a path forward to promote accountability for an inclusion culture. We hope you will join us for this chapter-wide meeting. We will look forward to your thoughts. Our chapter has had to pivot and alter how we operate this year. And this has given us an opportunity to take stock of who we are and what we want to become, which I think as an open and inviting organization where all members can lean on each other from time to time and thrive as individuals and as a group. I am proud to be a member of this group. I receive so much value from our chapter in so many ways. It would take a series of videos to acknowledge them all. I hope you're finding just as much value in your membership. But if you're struggling to find your place within the FPA of Massachusetts, reach out to me or anyone else on the board. We are here to help. And I hope to see you virtually on August 5th.
It's time for a Wicked Pissa podcast.
Wicked Pissa podcast?
Wicked Pissa podcast?
It's time for a Wicked Pissa podcast.
Welcome to the Wicked Pissa podcast, a production of the Financial Planning Association of Massachusetts, intended for financial planning advisors. All right, welcome back to the Wicked Pissa podcast. Thanks for being with us. I'm Chris Boyd, the host. I've got with me as my co-host today, Andy Cipro, the membership director for the Financial Planning Association of Massachusetts. And our guest is Rachel Goldman. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
And Andy, thank you as well. Got to chime in a little bit there.
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks for having me on today.
Terrific. So we'll get a chance to talk to you both quite a bit. Our topic today, we're going to be talking a little about diversity and particularly about an event that is coming up that the chapter has put together at which Rachel is the speaker and the presenter. So, Andy, what's the particulars for that and maybe give people sort of the update so if they want to make note and perhaps participate, they could.
No, absolutely. It's going to be coming up here relatively soon on August 5th, 1 to 4 p.m. It's called our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Initiative. And with that, Rachel, we have decided to bring Rachel in to perform what she does best. And it's really in talking about a lot of the different aspects that we are struggling with, not only socially within America, but also within the FPA and our chapter itself. I can tell you that, you know, being on the board and being a new member on the board, this has taken a lot of time and effort, and there's been a lot of passion that I've seen with our members in such a positive way. It's really been quite remarkable how we've been able to come together in a short period of time to be able to put this together, and we're just happy to have Rachel.
What was the date again? August 5th?
August
5th. And what time is that happening?
1 to 4 p.m.
Okay, Rachel, would be interested in hearing from you about, one, let's start by getting to know you a little bit, but I'd also like, maybe you can start off with giving a sense of what's going to be happening at that that meeting, that event?
Sure. So why don't I talk first about the event and what I'm putting together. As Andy said, the event is called Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Initiative. And the focus is going to be on implicit bias, which is unconscious bias. We all have unconscious biases. It's entirely humane to have them. But many of us are either ashamed or feel guilty or defensive about them. And so I'm going to explore exactly what implicit bias is. I'm going to try to normalize it so that people can sort of push away any guilt or shame or embarrassment they have about it and really openly and honestly take a look at what their biases are. And then we're going to take some time to explore. I'm going to want to hear from people through exercises and other teaching tools what their implicit biases are. And we'll examine the impact of implicit bias on particular groups and individuals. And then also, obviously, on how it fosters systemic racism and other forms of discrimination in this country and in the world. And so that will be essentially my presentation. There's also going to be a good chunk of time set aside for breakout rooms, small group dialogue and conversation, because my hope is that what folks learn from my presentation, they will start to really use to self-examine and turn their unconscious biases into conscious biases and figure out, do those biases
how to address that kind of, once you recognize something, you can respond by
exactly
trying to accommodate for it. Yeah.
So people in the small groups, there'll be some questions posed to help people explore what this meant to them and do some soul searching and some sharing. But then I'm also going to pose questions to people for how to apply what they've learned to the financial planning industry and to their particular chapter and think about the clients that they're drawing and to what extent do they want to and can they diversify the types of clients, and then brainstorm about what are some actionable next steps that the Massachusetts chapter can take to start to make some really sustainable needed change.
Well, let's back up then for a moment and hear about your role, your credentials. Tell us a little bit about what it is that you do that brings you to this moment to be the presenter and the facilitator of this process.
Sure. Thank you. So I was a practicing lawyer and mediator actually in Massachusetts for about 30 years and moved to Los Angeles. I now am based in Los Angeles. And the move really was a wonderful opportunity for me to think about, do I want to continue the type of work I'm doing, or do I want to shift and do work that's more impactful and that reaches more people? I was starting to feel a little, I don't know what the word is, a little itchy.
Unfulfilled, like perhaps?
Yeah, that's a good word. It's a little strong, but I'll admit it. less fulfilled than I had been.
Less than you wanted, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly. And I have always cared deeply about communication, how people communicate. I was a collaborative attorney, a mediator. I've cared deeply about dialoguing and being able to engage in difficult conversations and embracing diversity and embracing conflict and looking at conflict as an opportunity. So I became a certified professional coach, and I specialize in communication coaching. I work with leaders and clergy, attorneys, teams and organizations around communication and around team building. And I also train on various topics. And one of them is understanding and managing implicit bias. And so the executive director of the Massachusetts chapter, who I knew through another organization that I had been active in as an attorney, reached out to me and told me what the Massachusetts chapter was thinking of, and I jumped on it.
Great.
I was so excited.
Great. Well, you know, let's start with a little bit of a challenging, perhaps devil's advocate question here. But if we recognize that the profession, you know, financial planners right now are predominantly white, disproportionately male, why should I be concerned that there's more diversity within our profession? That does that benefit me in any fashion? Is that something that is, why is that a positive? Does it impact my professional opportunities in some fashion if there's, you know, more or not more? You follow the gist of where I'm going with this. Either of you, I don't know if, Andy, if you'd like to jump at that, or Rachel, if you would like to. But, you know, I would imagine that's a natural part of the question. If we're a predominantly white, predominantly male industry, particularly, and association, therefore, I think we need to speak to that, the reasons this is important beyond just our own self-interest.
Well, and I think the term that I've currently, you know, I've heard is male, pale, and stale. It's true. Just, you know, in the aspect of my profession of being a wholesaler, you go into offices, and I've covered territories from North Dakota to Dallas to Southern California and East Coast all the way down to Florida, and there's really not much difference. You know, someplace regionally there are small pockets where you do have more people of color, and that was Southern California, and that was in Houston, as well as Austin, and some places in Georgia. But, you know, and this isn't something that is new. This is something that has been worked on and tried to be worked on for a very long period of time. I mean, I can even remember the initiatives that Stan O'Neill used to take at Merrill Lynch. Back when he was leading the firm prior to the financial crisis. That was one of their biggest problems and one thing that they're trying to work on, yet we have failed again and again to attract people of color to join this industry and to partner with us.
You know, there was an interesting opinion piece in the New York Times on June 19th, and there were three authors of this, and it talked about the gaps between white and black America. You know, and of course, in this particular moment, the nation is unusually attentive to this challenge of equal opportunity, in a sense, or equality of various aspects. And in this particular item in the New York Times, it was an article with a lot of charts. And it pointed out, I may have referred to this on the podcast before, I'm not sure, I know I used it on my radio show, but it did identify that, you know, there's a pretty big, there's gaps in wealth, in employment, in education. You can go through incarceration. You can go through a variety of elements of societal connection where there's a notable disparity between white America and black America. And so, you know, financial planning and the opportunity to create wealth and the opportunity to have access to the advice that can help in that process is all also an element of that conversation. I would argue that, you know, as a profession, we as a society, as particularly as a profession, are benefited if we ultimately help create wealth among the society broadly, and the need for our services ultimately, and of course, let's face it. And Rachel, this may be a place for you to jump back in. It does seem natural for us all to gravitate to those who look or seem like us in some fashion. We naturally have a tendency to gravitate toward whether it's ethnicities or a race or other aspects of likeness. We tend to prefer that at times. And on some level, that's a natural thing. And that may be part of the argument for why, as a profession, we want to be more diverse, whether it's race or orientation or any aspect of that. Even wealth may be part of that consideration, whatever we want to break that down by for elements of what we mean by diversity. So is that a natural thing? Is that part of the human condition?
I think that, of course, we're drawn to people who look like us, who come from similar backgrounds, because it's familiar. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. The problem becomes when we have negative stereotyping and negative assumptions about what I'll call, quote unquote, the other, which is people who are different than us. And the more we surround ourselves with folks who look like us or come from the same socioeconomic status or whatever similarity, the more that's who we surround ourselves with, the less comfortable we are with different people. And so one way to really break implicit bias is to throw yourself into environments with other different people and do it out of genuine desire to learn about other cultures, other races, other gender identities, other sexual preference, other communities, and do it because once you know people who are different than you, race-wise, gender-wise, any type of difference, your stereotypes just start to melt away because now we're relating on a human level. Mm-hmm. We're not just relating based on what the social media tells us. And I want to comment just really quickly on the question, you know, why diversity?
Sure.
So I loved the phrase that Andy just used. It was male, pale, stale. The stale piece of it should be motivating every financial planner because every study shows that the more diverse, equitable, and inclusive an organization or a profession is, the more fiscally successful they are. And that's because it raises the ante for the level of talent, the level of the different ideas, the different approaches, and it does away with the kind of staleness that tends to happen if a certain profession or organization or group is homogenous. You're just not benefiting from the differences that actually buoy innovation and creativity.
I would imagine once you get past some of those changes that you were talking about a moment ago in terms of or differences when it comes to different ethnicities and again, however you slice and dice the sense of diversity, I would have to imagine that ultimately people kind of share a lot of commonalities of at their essence in terms of what they value, what they hope for, what they aspire to. You know, there may be, you know, nuances of difference within that, but isn't that ultimately where you end up coming to some of this stuff, that we're all kind of on the similar journey? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, broad level, yes, of course we are, but I think that sort of you got to be careful.
You don't want to dismiss those differences.
Exactly, and not to embrace them, and to start making assumptions that, well, we're all sort of wanting the same things. We're all human, and therefore, those differences really don't matter because those differences do matter, and they enrich relationships and they enrich environments. So I think, of course, we're all human. We all basically want the same things in life for the most part, you know, when you get down to bare bone basics. But I think there can be a danger then to try to shove under the rug or dismiss.
Okay, fair point. That's a fair point. Well, when we try to have this event, my initial response to it was, gee, is there a way you could, we could flavor the way you present that where you're less emphasizing implicit bias and more talking about the, you know, having a conversation about diversity? Because there seems to be naturally a defensiveness to this notion of you have a bias. We all have a bias. You know, that, do you follow where I'm going with this? Would you speak to that issue?
So I think that it is critical that we take a look at our implicit biases first. And the way that I am going to present this is to normalize it and to hopefully create a safe environment in which people will be open to sort of taking a second look at quick reactions that they have when they see an image or when they envision a certain kind of professional. And anybody who registers for the program is going to be sent a link to take an implicit association test, which is a fascinating test that Harvard came out with many years ago. You go online and you have a whole array of different topics and groups that you can take this test with, like race and gender and sexual preference, disability, weight. And what the test does is it shows you images and you have to very quickly respond, good or bad. And I think there's some other sort of value differences. And it measures how quickly you respond to things and what your response is. And it really brings out biases about people because of their weight, people because of the way they look, race, people because of what race they are, what if there's a disability, what age they are. And it normalizes, because nobody takes this test and comes out completely neutral, because human beings aren't neutral. And so I think we can't get to the point of really wanting to change the culture of the profession without taking responsibility for our part in it and making some internal changes to then be able to make the external organizational changes that create a diverse, equitable, and inclusive community. I think it starts with each of us. And so I'm hoping that the way I teach this will help people shift away from the defensiveness and the feeling of guilt or shame around uncovering some of those implicit biases.
And Rachel, I think you brought up a ton of great points right there. And I think especially for our chapter, you know, this is just the first step. And the first step is to get everybody's guards down and to not be defensive. We all have implicit bias. We're all prejudiced in something, because that's based off of our own personal life experience. And I think that that's really important, and I've actually gone through this, a little bit of this with you from a couple weeks ago. And, you know, the general understanding and what you were able to get out of taking those tests, those Harvard tests, was, you know, I do have bias. I do have prejudice. And what can I do to help heal that or help move forward with that, knowing that that is something innate within me because of my personal life experience? And so, again, from what I've already seen, I'm, again, just looking so forward to this.
Rachel, with regard to this test that attendees would take, is that something that is private to them? You know, I would imagine that could be embarrassing if there's some some realization of some of these kinds of implicit biases.
Yes, it's absolutely private. I won't be grading them. I won't be seeing the results. It's really to raise self-awareness, to prepare a little bit for the presentation. And then I will be throwing out some questions, you know, about did anything surprise people? How do they feel about what they learned about themselves? Things like that to begin to help people to talk more openly about this. And I want to also point out, we need to be biased as human beings, and we need to make snap decisions and associations and judgments as we move through our day-to-day lives, because we are inundated with stimulus. And I think I read a statistic that we receive like close to 1 million different stimuli within a minute. Most things we're not aware of. And so we're constantly making different associations and judgment calls. Like if we see a car coming, we don't know exactly what that driver's going to do, but we have to make a snap decision about whether we're going to cross that street or pull back. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with the way our brain is made up. The goal is to make those unconscious biases that are leading us to decision-making that contradicts our values and make those biases conscious so that we can be aligned with our values in how we behave and the decisions that we make.
That's a great point. All right. So this sounds like a pretty long engagement for, you know what I mean? You said it's 3 hours in length, this event.
Yes.
So it's a commitment for people to participate, really.
Absolutely. And I don't want to just talk at people for too long. So I'll present and ask for participation for probably a little over an hour. And then there'll be a break. And then we're going to have the breakout rooms with discussion, with questions posed, and board members and NextGen members are going to be the facilitators. I'm going to train them on how to facilitate the small group conversation. Nice. And then we'll come back together. And folks, I'm hoping, will share some of the actionable next steps that their group came up with to help the committee that's going to start to explore next steps and next initiatives. So the committee has a sense of where the membership is coming from and what the commitment is and who wants to get involved and some direction.
Andy, could you elaborate on what is this committee that's being referenced? Is there a committee that's being formulated to try to speak to the chapter's efforts to extend a greater sense of diversity within our membership?
I don't know specifics as of right now. It's a work in progress. But, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do is make that time commitment. We didn't want to go over, you know, and have it as a half-day event or something of that. But we also just didn't want to kind of check a box and do an hour presentation. We wanted to make sure people know that we are committed to what's going on, and this is again the first step towards that actual commitment. But there's a lot of work being done behind the scenes by a lot of people, one of which is Jake Northrup, who's just an amazing individual, and
sounds like he's passionate on the topic from what I've been gathering.
And the next gen, it's not a surprise that our younger members have that passion behind it, and Jake represents them. And let me tell you, since joining this board and being part of this organization, he's number one or number two in my book of people that I'm honored to be working with and to be affiliated with, just from all of the other aspects that he's brought to our board, and specifically to NextGen. So it really wasn't a surprise that he's really spearheaded this effort and done a tremendous job. And again, what we're going to do and how that's actually going to look, don't have the specifics as of that right now. But, you know, we just know that, hey, there is a problem. And, you know, what's the best way to approach it? What's the best way to move forward with it? You know, we want to measure twice and cut once.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're really trying to do. But that's really where we're trying to make a commitment of 3 hours. But we also know that people can't take a full half day off of work. But, you know, maybe this is something that they can even speak to their employers. Say, hey, this is something that's really important, and I need to set aside this time in order to get this done and kind of put things off for themselves.
Well, if there are people who are not able to attend, is there some other, I imagine this isn't the kind of thing you record because it'll be, you know, conversations, it'll be dialogue, it'll be kind of safe space kind of mindset that it might not be appropriate for that kind of a presentation. But what do you have in mind for those who may not be able to attend? Is there any backup next, what's next kind of thing, or there'll be more to come?
We want to see exactly, you know, what the attendance is going to be. We're also offering this to the Northern New England chapter, and I believe that we're also going to be offering this to the Rhode Island chapter also.
That was my next question. Is this open? Our podcast may be heard by advisors in other geographies. Is it open to other chapters? In this case, it's only surrounding chapters.
To my knowledge, we're also inviting, I believe, a member of the Alliance Forum, each one of their leadership, so that, you know,
representation from the Alliance Forum, which is, for those who don't know, that's some of the larger chapters in the Financial Planning Association across the country.
And there's a few other chapters that already have a D&I either committee or board member. But
diversity and inclusion, is
yes,
that what D&I?
Sorry. Okay. D&I, yeah, yeah. Sorry. But, you know, what we're really trying to do, you know, is we're somewhat pioneers in this. And
yeah.
So, you know, we're trying to do the right thing, and we're definitely just trying not to do the wrong thing also.
Yeah, yeah, I want to be sensitive and tonally appropriate.
Exactly.
Well, that may also be, I imagine there are some chapters who have done some work in this area, and they may have some great suggestions and resources that could be a valuable insight to share. If people listening want to learn more or want to, first off, how do they sign up for this event? Andy, do you have the details for that?
Well, we have a specific landing page on the FPAMA.org website where they can go and they can register. Very easy to do for all of our members out there. That's something that you can learn a little bit more about what we're doing, and that's something that we're going to continue to promote as a member over the next 2 weeks for something like
There's
such
a,
as
a this. Landing page for what was that, for the event?
For the actual event yep. itself.
So they can register through that part of the website, fpama.org. And then is there a contact if people want to become more engaged and more involved? Who should they speak to? Would it be Jake? Who on the board would be the point person that they might look to try to investigate this more actively?
You know, we did discuss this, and I forget who we were going to filter everything through. It may be Kristen or Brad, but Jake...
sure. Listen, so
there's nothing he can't
so
do.
So probably the easiest way at this point would be to write to Kristen Bean, admin
yep.
at fpama.org,
yep.
and she'll get you in contact with whoever's going to spearhead these efforts as it evolves. Rachel, I want to make sure we get everything you wanted to talk about in. I think we've gotten a sense of the day. Are there other things you wanted to share about this important topic and this event that you're going to be leading?
I want to commend your chapter of the FPA because I have had the privilege of speaking with members of the board in a group call, speaking with NextGen members in another group call with board members, and I have just been so impressed with the thoughtfulness and the commitment and the acknowledgement that this is not going to be a one-off and that this is going to take hard work and the chapter is willing to do it and the chapter wants to do it. I am just so aware of how folks did not want to just send out a statement like so many organizations have been sending out around systemic racism and what's going on and the commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and then just, you know, wipe their hands and say, we did it, we're great. They really wanted to begin a process and steps for making real sustainable cultural change in this industry. And I think your chapter is amazing. I've been speaking with a couple of other chapters who are interested in this kind of training, and Massachusetts just seems to be quite a leading chapter in this country from what I can tell.
Well, we hope to be. Thanks for saying that. And thank you for your efforts in addressing this and sharing your leadership on the event that we have planned. Again, this is August 5th. It was 1 to 4 p.m., correct?
Yes.
And to register, go to fpama.org. Sounds like it'll be quite a worthwhile use of time. So, and hopefully something people can take back, not just as part of their membership in the FPA, but perhaps they can take away for how they operate their own or engage in their own financial planning experience and their firms. So, Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. It was a pleasure to get to know you. I appreciate the opportunity to meet with you and have you on our show.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Andy. Same here. Thanks for being here. Appreciate your time and involvement.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Keep up the good work and pass it along to the rest of the board. Thanks for their leadership on this. If you'd like to learn more about the Financial Planning Association of Massachusetts, check out our website, fpama.org. You can learn more about our calendar of events and all that's going on in the chapter. We hope you'll join. Again, that's fpama.org. Well, until next time, have a wicked good day. In times of dramatic market movements like these, we're all reminded of the importance of having good business structures, a top quality team, and close personal contacts with our clients. Hi everybody, Chris Boyd here. My firm, Asset Management Resources, AMR, is a registered investment advisor, and if you or your firm doesn't yet have a continuity plan for the just in case, consider us. Whether just as a backup for the unforeseen, or if you're starting to think about when it's time to transition out of your practice, give us a call to see if we might be a good fit. Call me at Asset Management Resources toll-free, 866-771-8901. That's 866-771-8901. Or send me an email at chris@amrfinancial.com. If you're looking for a firm that's big enough for scale, but small enough to care, consider Asset Management Resources, where clients come first.